know why, because I know it annoys everybody else. That's why. Love that bird. Tico the bird. By the way, Momo's got a good story online about the relationship between Pau Gasol and Kobe Bryant and Kobe's family, which is a really cool story. I just retweeted that. All right, we got O'Shea. Big-time movie star O'Shea Jackson Jr. joins us right now. O'Shea, what's going on, man?
I'm good, man. Just loving life over here in Virginia, still working. But whenever I'm on Mason and Ireland, I'm home.
Good to hear, O'Shea. And the Lakers are 9-0 on the road. And Michael and I were talking about it, Shea. And he thinks, and I wonder if this is true for you, you're on the road filming. Are you more focused when you're not at home because you have fewer distractions? That's Michael's theory as to why the Lakers are 9-0 on the road and 4-4 at home.
Absolutely. You know, when you're not at home, you got to be all about business. What else are you going to do? I mean, I have my PlayStation 5 to distract me. I'm sure they do too. But the Lakers are all about the work right now, and it's a good time to be a Laker. We are the road warriors. We're best record in the league. It's a great time to be a Laker right now.
Kobe Bryant, Friday was the 15th anniversary of his 81-point game. Now, how old were you when Kobe went for 81?
Well, 81, what's that, 06? How old was I? Jeez.
January of 06.
So that would make me about, what, 15?
So you remember 15, it well, 15. Right?
Oh, definitely. I remember my dad was the reason why we didn't go. I remember.
Really? How's that?
You know, because it was before I could drive. It was a random Sunday against the random Toronto Raptors.
The NFC and AFC championship games were on. I remember that.
Yeah, my brother, Darryl, was the only one to go. And, you know, we turned on the TV and it was like, all right, Kobe has 50 again. You know, standard January at that time. And then he just kept going. And, you know, that is, it's still untouched. I know Devin Booker got close, you know, with 70, but that wasn't a loss. You should probably be a Laker. But yeah, you know, it's something I remind people every time. And the people of Toronto should be happy that they're part of that history. Jalen Rose, too.
Yeah, Jalen Rose, too. Absolutely. but what do you think is more impressive? Because I saw you, in fact, you were at the 60-point game, the retirement game. I was with you. What do you think you remember more, the 81-point game or the 60-point retirement game?
The 60-point game. You know, it was a playoff atmosphere. It was us saying goodbye to our hero. He's coming off injury. You know, people had, you know, whatever they had to say about his play at that time. I remember ESPN had the game on ESPN2. You know, Laker fans take that, you know, with a grain of salt. But, yeah, I remember Kobe coming out bricking, and I remember asking, please just let him get at least 25. And he got 25 twice and some more. And so that 60-point game, you know, the greatest final game in league history, there's no way to top that. It was a storybook ending. And then his speech at the end, not a dry eye in the house. There's nothing that I think can top that, you know. So I put the 60-point game number one.
Yeah, me too. I'm the same as you, same as you. So you're starring in a new TV series that's shooting right now. It's produced by Kevin Durant. It's called Swagger. What's it about?
Swagger is, you know, based off AAU basketball around the DMV area. I play a coach by the name of Isaac Kennedy Edwards. Used to be the man around town and then ran into some trouble in my life. Now I coach AAU, and I got a star named Jace, who's played by Isaiah Hill, who's killing it. And, you know, I'm trying to show him the ins and outs, you know, what to look out for. We got shady coaches. We got real coaches. And, you know, it kind of speaks on how some of these coaches use these kids as meal tickets. And, you know, they're not true to the game. So we speak on a lot of, you know, things that young people have to deal with, not only athletes, but just young people in general. The show is really deep. It's so many levels to it. It's an honor to be a part of it. Yeah, like you said, executive produced by Kevin Durant. who seems to not answer my text anymore because I told him Lakers in five. But, you know, he's,
Shay,
he's a good guy. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. I am so glad you're doing this and you're a part of this. I've told this story a bunch of times. Lamar Odom, who's about as nice of a guy as you'll ever meet, started getting money handshakes in New York City when he was 11 years old. This wow. AAU culture that you guys are focused on has been crooked for a long time. And these kids, like you said, the way you phrased it was, have used these kids for their own thing. A lot of these coaches simply use these kids to get, if not a shoe deal, to get an assistant coaching job at a college if they'll deliver the kid there. And it's gone way sideways. And I think the fact that you guys are going to delve into this is going to be fascinating. Do you know? Do they have a distributor yet? Do you know where it's going to air or when it's going to air?
Oh, we're all Apple. It's going to be on Apple Plus. CBS is behind it. And, yeah, you know, Kevin, this is a passion project for Kevin because of the shadiness around, you know, kids who ball. There's people out there selling a dream. And, you know, what if you don't pan out, you know, they throw you away like yesterday's garbage. And, you know, for a kid to have a mentor, to have somebody older, you know, showing them the ropes, showing them false love can be completely damaging to them as a human being. So it's something that, you know, Kevin wanted to shine a light on. Reggie Blythewood is our showrunner, our guy, you know, our captain. And, you know, it's a beautiful story that we're putting together. And it'll open a lot of people's eyes to something that, you know, the everyday Joe has, you know, no idea about. So it's a blessing to be a part of something that can be this big.
So you're the star of this. Like, you've done a lot of great supporting stuff, Long Shot and Ingrid Goes West and Just Mercy. And, I mean, even straight out of Compton, you were part of an ensemble. This is the first time you're the star, right? Is there more pressure on that?
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. I treat it like that. You know, I know I've put in the work. I started my acting career 7 years ago, you know, and I really
had
to come to that
wow.
realization. I had to come to the realization of all the things that have gone into these past 7 years. And, yeah, it's a blessing to finally be in a lead role. I treat it as such, the utmost professionalism. You know, I'm Kobe when the camera turns on, Magic Johnson when they're off, you know, keeping morale high, keeping everybody focused. But I got a great group here. And, yeah, they're about to change my tax bracket a little bit. I'm about to change my number again.
And, yeah, life is... are we going to lose your number?
Oh, never, never. This is my home. You know, Mason's yeah. Island, you guys put me on. You know, you get it first, mate.
All right. That's good. Go ahead, Mace.
So you did Den of Thieves, and as my mom said, your friend O'Shea sure gets his butt kicked a lot. You did get knocked around in that movie like crazy. And now there's a rumor that there's going to be Den of Thieves 2. Is that official?
Yeah, it's going to be a Den of Thieves 2. We're gearing up. We're getting ready to go to give everybody what they want. I've already had it in my contract that I got to do most of the butt kicking, so I'll be fine. And, you know, they're getting me a trainer. We're getting in you're probably the best shape of my life. And it's going to be a grind. This one is going to be a grind because we got to go bigger and better. I'm excited about that. Not as excited as I am about the Lakers getting this back-to-back chip.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Den of Thieves 2 is on the way.
All right, Shay. So tonight in Cleveland, Lakers taking on the Cavs. And Wednesday, the Sixers. So what I'm worried about is that this could be a look-ahead game, like the Golden State loss. Right before we left on this long road trip, and the Lakers are road warriors, as you pointed out earlier. But right before they left, they lost to a bad Golden State team because I think they may have been looking ahead. Should I be worried that they're looking ahead tonight with Joel Embiid and the Sixers on Wednesday?
No, I don't think so because, you know, the whole league got put on notice with Colin Sexton, you know, destroying the
last
Nets
week,
back
right?
To back games. Yeah, right. Yeah, destroying the Nets twice. I just want to put that out there. And, you know, it's important for the Lakers to handle their business. You know, we let Golden State back into that game. We don't want that to happen. The Lakers are so good. You know, I love a good boring game, John. And when you're up 30 at halftime, like we yep. were against Chicago, you know, I could go to bed early. The games come on late out here. So, you know, I feel like the Lakers are focused one game at a time. People were talking about Anthony Davis being in a bit of a slump. We still got champagne on our breath. The season was, you know, it just kicked off, you know, and we're ready to go. This team is it reminds me of that 2001 back-to-back team. We seem focused. We seem ready. And, you know, LeBron is Mr. Ohio. He's going to handle
that's true. Yeah, he'll probably be dialed in Ohio. Yeah, hope
good
you're
point.
Right.
Exactly. Good point. All right. Hey, listen, O'Shea, thanks a lot for coming on. We appreciate it. And let's do this soon, okay?
Of course, man. Tomorrow I'll be spending my time watching Kobe highlights like everybody in Laker Nation.
That's right.
Just another rest in peace to Kobe and Gianna and everyone who was in that tragic accident. And, you know, everybody out there, if you love the Lakers, hate the Lakers, remember, Lakers in five.
Lakers in five.
Like it.
All right,
like
Shea,
it,
thanks,
Shea.
Man.
Of course, man, anytime.
All right. Hey, Mace, I got a little bit of really good breaking news here.
Okay.
This is from our buddy Eric Spillman over at KTLA.
Yes.
L.A. County will follow the state's lead in, re-enter the purple tier. Outdoor dining will reopen by the end of this week.
That is great news.
I've been waiting for that. You know, I think it's under-publicized how many people in the restaurant industry are out of work. It's basically everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Like I told that one story. I know a guy that owns some restaurants here in the South Bay, and he had 150 employees, and he had to cut down to 7.
Wow.
So if you can afford it and you're comfortable doing outdoor dining, or even if you just want to, you know, if you want to kind of meet in the middle and do takeout, help your local restaurants and businesses, man, because they are teetering on an edge. And this is great that outdoor dining is going to be allowed maybe as soon as the end of this week.
Yeah, by the way, breaking news on 710 ESPN, powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons. So when is that supposed to start, John? When did they say?
They say by the end of this week. Governor Newsom is going to lift the order and put us back into a tier system. There's been a full stay-at-home order for about a month.
Yep.
And he's going to now go back to the tier system. So depending on where you are in the state, like LA County is still going to be a purple tier, which is the worst, but it does allow for some flexibility. Before today, there's been, as you know, no flexibility for a month. Everything.
What's that mean about me getting a haircut?
I think it's good news. In particular, if the people that cut your hair have the ability for you to go outside.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, it's out of control. And I realized I don't have the kind of vacuum cleaner that works
the
with
Flobee?
The Flobee.
Okay.
I've got like this little portable one, and I was going to cut my hair like George Clooney and use the Flobee. Mm-hmm. I keep looking at these shavers, and I'm like, it's scary,
you should do
the
it.
Idea of
try,
cutting
try
your
it.
Own hair.
Hey, try it with the Flobee. My only request is that you record it.
Oh, isn't it so? It's so sketchy to
Come
try
on,
to cut
man.
Your own hair.
You're not going to get another haircut for 2 months. Just Flobee it up and see what it looks like.
Oh, no. And do it live?
Do it live.
Do it live.
If you don't like it, just wear a hat.
Wear a hat. I wear one all the time anyway. All right. Coming up next for you is The Scoop. All the stuff in sports that we haven't talked about yet. And don't forget, at 3 o'clock, we got to interview Larry King, who passed away over the weekend last year on Mason in Ireland. And he is so funny. And by the way, you know, great broadcaster. When I was a little kid, I listened to Larry King. I stayed up late at night. I was always all about radio. It's my first love, and he's one of the reasons why. 2 o'clock in the morning, mutual broadcasting system, and my mom and dad didn't know I had the little transistor in there, and I was listening to the show all night long. So Larry King, absolute legend. We will hear from him at 3 o'clock today. All right, The Scoop is coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. All right, it's time for The Scoop. Mason is still having technical difficulties, but he'll be back here with us in a second, so I'll start it. There is a story making the rounds on ESPN today that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Duke basketball coach Mike Krzyzewski was doing a post-game Zoom interview after Duke lost to Louisville, and one of the people who asked a question was a reporter from the Duke Chronicle, a student newspaper named Jake Piazza. First, you're going to hear Jake, and then you're going to hear Coach K's response, which has everybody up in arms claiming that Coach K was extremely rude and out of line to Piazza. See if you agree.
Hi, Coach. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? You know, I'm not into what our next step forward is right now. We just finished the hard-fought game. Yeah, I don't know if, like, when you, what's your major? What's your major at Duke? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay. So say you just had the toughest econ test in the world. And when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean? Does that, you have some empathy and, you know, just give us time to evaluate this game and then we'll figure out just like we always try to do.
So Coach K got killed on social media after that posted. As a matter of fact, at one point it was trending last night on Twitter, Coach K a-hole. Michael Thompson has jumped into the studio. Not only was I not offended by what Coach K said, I thought he kind of treated the kid with kid gloves. What did you think?
Ireland, the world has gone mad. What was so offensive about that? What did he have to apologize for? Don't be so soft, Coach K. Apologize for what? He did nothing wrong. What is wrong with us now? You can't even put out an example for someone? Ooh, he was too hard on that kid. Did that kid go home and lose sleep? Did he go up in the, and curdle up in the corner and fetal position and suck his thumb? What is wrong with us?
And, Michael, not only that, Coach K called that kid because he got so much blowback from it.
Oh, please.
He called him his apartment. He goes, hey, I want to apologize. And the kid said, oh, thanks. And, you know, I thought this was literally nothing.
The kid should have said, Coach, you got nothing to apologize for.
Yeah.
Bleep those people.
Yeah, I didn't. Lindsay, did you think that was a big deal, how Coach K treated that kid?
No, I mean, at first I was like, just kind of scary because I guess it was the kid's first time, like, covering a game and doing the post-game press
Greg
conference.
Greg Popovich is way ruder than that.
Exactly.
I know, but the kid, it's his first game, and he probably wasn't.
He's not a kid. He's in college.
You're right. Jeez. And that's why after I listened to it in full, and then Jay Williams was actually talking about it on the morning show today, saying that he had this long, extensive conversation with Coach K about it, and That's just not who he is, you know? And he's like, I got to stick up for Coach K because he didn't mean it to be hurtful. He was just trying to tell him, I guess he could have found a better way to do it.
You know what? They should have let that kid go interview Bobby Knight.
Yeah, I was going to say. No, Mace is back. Mace, did you hear the clip?
Absolutely. Total jerk move on the part of Coach K.
What are you talking about?
He's a kid reporter.
He's not a kid. He's a grown man.
He's trying to learn how to become a reporter.
You know what? Grow up.
And there's a dance here. There was nothing wrong with the question at all.
No, nothing wrong. But
What was wrong with the response?
Yeah.
What's your hardest subject?
He wasn't yelling at him. He wasn't speaking down to him.
Would he do that to a regular reporter?
Yes,
just a college kid.
He was giving him an example, Mace. Why? Lighten up. Toughen up, Mace.
No, I'm not. Look, it was a jerk move. He's apologized. That's how you know it was wrong.
Yeah, because of people like you. He had no reason to.
Total jerk move. No, it wasn't.
Mace, it's to you.
All right. Let's see. I had that one. Major League Baseball will not have the universal DH and will not have expanded playoffs this year.
What?
Players wanted universal DH but refused to give owners expanded playoffs, so now neither one is going to happen. Here's the question. Why do you think MLB players are so opposed to this 16-team playoff like we had last year in the pandemic season?
Because they don't get it. They're idiots. They don't understand that the more playoff teams, the more interest there is in the game. Jeez.
Well, the other thing is they get a portion of the proceeds, don't they? Does the playoff money go all to the owners? Don't the players get a cut of that?
Yes.
So you if know, the players get it, I might, Michael, I'm not sure about that. I think maybe
in baseball? Oh, yeah, you got a cut of the playoffs. You get playoff bonuses the more you win.
Yeah,
you get playoff bonuses, but I don't think they get a cut of the playoff money.
So, Mace, every time I hear a baseball story, the baseball union is the strongest union in all of sports. So every time I hear somebody, in this case it was you, tell me that somebody turned down something, I always think, okay, this is part of a negotiation. they are going to use this. Like, it still might happen. Like, the owners might get what they want, but they're going to have to give up something else. So I always take these stories with a grain of salt. I wouldn't rule out universal DH yet. I wouldn't rule out expanded playoffs, because the players union, now the owners may offer them, let's say, half of the TV money, and then all of a sudden it miraculously comes back around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hated the expanded playoffs.
Why?
I really, because, Michael, it starts with a three-game series.
Yeah.
You play 162
Ooh,
games.
Ooh, poor guys.
And you could be eliminated in a two out of three. I'm sorry. A two out of three doesn't make any sense
Number
to
one,
me. It's easy to lose two
out of
three.
Nobody plays 162 games anymore. They all play about 150, so that's out of the window.
Yeah,
but the
I
teams
didn't mind
play 162
Yeah, but not,
games
not the players.
Michael.
Players, see how many guys
Wait a minute,
days
okay,
off.
Let's, okay, then here's the example. Then I'll tell you what. Make the first round of the NBA playoffs best out of three.
Best out of three baseball was fun.
No, best out of three. You want it in the NBA?
I don't care.
Do you want a best out of three?
They kind of do it, but they do it now with the play-in.
They do a three out of five.
But the play-in game is
the play-in is a one-game thing.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah,
or two.
But realistically, first round of the NBA playoffs.
I wouldn't care. I'm not going to do it.
Would you be okay with a two out of three?
But, Mace, here's the difference. The NBA splits the money in an equal pie. So the players, if they shove more games down the players' throats, they're like, okay, that's more revenue for us.
That's right.
I think in baseball I heard, and I'll double check this with Buster or somebody who would know, that the TV money in the postseason goes straight to the owners.
I just looked it up, and at least – last year, you know, back pre-COVID, I don't know what they arranged in this past season, but 2019 and previously, the players would get postseason shares, but it was from the playoff gate receipts. So I guess without having crowds there or really small crowds, I guess there probably wouldn't be like a ton more. I don't know
how
they'd work
and
it out.
And the big money, you guys, is in the TV rights. That's
right, but you're focusing on the money. I'm focusing on the competitive disadvantage of a really good team being put in a situation where if they lose two out of three, they're out of it.
So,
and I would argue that first round of the NBA playoffs, if it was best two out of three, teams wouldn't necessarily always win.
Matter of fact, Michael, the 81 Lakers.
Yep.
Got knocked out of best two out of three.
Was it the 86 Lakers? No, 81. That's right.
No, 81 Lakers got
Ralph
knocked
Sampson,
out.
Ralph Sampson, right?
And then the 86 was Ralph Sampson. That loss, Michael, had a lot of the reason to do why Jerry West traded for you.
Hey, by the way, Mace, you know how you solved that best team not getting knocked out early? Win.
Here's how you solve it, Michael. I'm okay with expanded playoffs, but it's got to be best of five in the first round.
I don't disagree with that.
If you make that best of five and you eliminate the random chance that you're going to lose two out of three, to me, that's okay.
Yeah.
Best out of five, I can live with.
Sure. We can definitely meet in the middle on this. Okay, so it's to me, right?
Yes.
It was reported over the weekend that the Lions have agreed with Matthew Stafford to trade him maybe as soon as this week. If you're Stafford, where would you like to be traded? The Rams probably can't get him because they don't have a number one pick. The Colts have a great roster. He could put them over the top. The Patriots need a QB. The Niners were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. The Bears, Panthers, Broncos, Steelers, and maybe the Washington football team all could use a guy like Stafford. If you're Stafford, Michael, you first, where do you want to land?
Oh, Dolphins. They're a playoff-ready team. Great weather to play in as he's 32, 33 years of age, and he can hit the ground running there.
Mace,
Wait
what do you
minute.
Think?
We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers to the Rams. Why could we not have Matthew Stafford to the Rams?
Well,
if I'm Matthew Stafford and I want to play for one of the great young coaches in the league, great offensive minds, I do it. And by the way, the Rams have got their second and third this year. They've got their first every year after that. There's no reason why they couldn't make that deal for Matthew Stafford. And frankly, I think it's probably more realistic than Aaron Rodgers or it's Deshaun Watson, because Matthew Stafford makes less.
Maybe
he's on a very team-friendly contract.
It's LA. Are you worried about making less?
Well, my thought would be Matthew Stafford isn't good enough to walk.
Well, there's
in there.
A salary cap, Michael. So that's a difficult thing.
For Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, and I think you can work around that.
Yeah, and Mace, the one thing, Stafford isn't as good of a player as Aaron Rodgers, where he could demand where to go specifically. They could just tell him to go pound sand. Aaron Rodgers, you really can't. I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
I don't know. Once they mutually agree on a trade, can you really really tell him go pound sand?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I'll tell you this. Stafford, by the way, Watson or Rodgers would be a huge upgrade for the Rams.
Just to throw in a point, Brad Holmes was the Rams personnel director. Now he's the Lions GM. Just happened. There's nobody that knows the Rams roster better than Brad Holmes.
Good
that
point.
Means that it might be easier. He may see, oh, yeah, this guy, and draft picks. I know that roster inside out. I'll make that deal with the Rams. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they won't be in on Matthew Stafford, and he would be a huge upgrade over Jared Goff.
And, by the way, could happen this week, which is exciting.
Holmes, he was the college scouting director with the Rams when they drafted Goff in 2016.
There you go. So he knows Goff really well, too. Maybe he sees something that that McVay hasn't discovered. It's to me. John, the International Olympic Committee is working with the World Health Organization to get this summer's Olympics in Tokyo to happen. They intend, this is the idea, get all athletes vaccinated in a bid to save the games. Do you think this is possible? And aren't there other people that need to be vaccinated first?
I don't think it's possible because think about it. Even if you get vaccinated, it's not a lock that you don't get the virus. And if one person gets the virus, one competitor at the Olympics gets it, think about the possibility for super spreading.
Everybody has it, it's over 95% immunity.
Right.
And if everybody has the vaccine, then nobody can actually get it.
That's not true. That's not, you know, according to the World Health Organization, it's mostly true, but there's that 5% chance. So,
but we're all going to live our lives with a 5% chance, all of us.
Yeah,
I'm going to live my life with a 5% chance. We probably all are after the vaccine.
Right. But because they're flying in people from all over the world, and then they're going back to their home countries after the Olympics, I think it's a really risky look to fly people in from all over the place. And then, like, if you, I don't know if you've ever watched any of the documentaries about the HIV virus, but
sure, of course.
The incredible bad luck element to that was in the beginning, one of the people that had HIV was an attractive flight attendant who was bisexual.
Right.
So this guy was flying all over the world and he was promiscuous. So he would go to, you know, London and then to Tokyo and then to LA and then the virus just took off.
Right. But there was no treatment, no cure, no vaccine. There was nothing at that point. So
it's a risk, but you're Mr. Olympics. What do you think?
I think absolutely. Aren't we all going to go to Laker games with a 95% chance of not getting it?
Eventually.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as I have that vaccine, I'm going to operate life as normal. I mean, if you have 95% chance, I will absolutely take that.
Well, let me ask you this. You have worked a lot of Olympics. If they call you and say, work these Olympics, we'll get you vaccinated, are you going?
Done. I'm there. I'm in Tokyo.
Yeah.
I've already texted with the guys that I normally work with and said, look, if I can get a vaccination, I would definitely come to Tokyo and do those games.
Well, now the question is, how do we get everybody vaccinated?
Right.
And do you, like you said, do you move these people to the front of the line?
Right, exactly.
Which is a whole other conversation. But the Olympics would, you know, a lot of people would be happy if the Olympics happened. It would make a lot of people, bring a lot of people joy. And maybe it would be a great ad for the vaccine if they pulled it off without a hitch.
Absolutely.
You know, that's one thing the NBA is considering, is having all these high-profile players, you know, like LeBron and Kevin Durant, get vaccinated on camera to show that it's safe and that you should do it.
Well, that's what Elvis did with the polio vaccine way, way back when. And the African-American community polls show that there is not a great, there's a lot of reluctance about getting this vaccine. And seeing somebody like LeBron, seeing somebody like KD, seeing somebody like Michael Thompson get the vaccine could be all the difference in that. Coming up next for you, Pasadena claims to have invented something, and I don't think it can possibly be true. I'll describe that next. Plus, at 3 o'clock, a conversation that we had with the great Larry King last year. Larry King, broadcast legend, icon, passed away over the weekend at the age of 86. We had one final chance, John and I, to talk to him last year, and we'll bring you that conversation. It is really, really funny. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Go the Parrot! Love that. All right, so get back to this Coach K thing in a second, because we've got a legitimate agreement and you guys disagreement, and you guys are wrong about it. So, John, it is National Cheeseburger Week
and
in
Michael.
Pasadena.
And
it
Michael.
Starts today.
And Michael.
And Michael, you're wrong, too. The cheeseburger, uh-huh. Pasadena claims, was invented there.
Ooh,
the
no,
cheeseburger
please.
Was invented in Pasadena in January 1924 by a 16-year-old short order cook named Lionel Clark Sternberger. Oh. The event at a roadside hamburger stand grew into a restaurant called The Right Spot, and there is a plaque right there acknowledging that Pasadena invented the cheeseburger. Are you buying it?
Hell no.
Why not, Arlen?
How do we know he invented the
Had
cheeseburger?
Had to start somewhere.
Yeah. Mike, how do you know I didn't invent the cheeseburger?
Well, you're not old enough.
Here's an interesting thing, too. Al Gore claims he invented the internet. All right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How do
yeah.
we know?
By the way, that's always been taken completely out of context, but go with it because it's something we'd say.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. That this is the equivalent of Al Gore invented the internet. We don't know who invented the cheeseburger.
Now, what year did this guy say he did it?
1924.
Well, so if I can provide evidence that there was a cheeseburger before 1924, it would invalidate his claim.
Because
right?
the word was a guy named Louis Ballast in Denver, and 35 was when the cheeseburger was invented.
This is 24.
Yeah.
This is 1924. This is before Denver.
I think Theodore Roosevelt had a cheeseburger at the White House in 1916. Oh. Take
Theodore
that,
Roosevelt
Sternberger.
No, I think I'm going to give Pasadena the benefit
yeah.
of the doubt.
Why not?
Benefit of the doubt. Congratulations to Pasadena. And all the cheeseburger restaurants, all the restaurants in Pasadena are having specials on cheeseburgers right now. So if you're in Pasadena, go get a burger via takeout, maybe by the end of week via outdoor dining, and celebrate Cheeseburger Week in Pasadena.
What's your favorite cheese on your cheeseburger, Mace?
I'm a big Swiss guy. I'm
Swiss?
A big Swiss oh. mushrooms and onions guy.
Yeah.
What about you, Michael?
I like cheddar and provolone. You know, they're not mixed, but either one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
John,
what about you?
What's your cheese?
I love Swiss cheese. Like, if I get a turkey sandwich, I always get Swiss, but on a burger, I do cheddar.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay,
George,
what about you?
Lindsay?
I'm definitely going to go with cheddar.
Cheddar?
Yep.
And Jorge?
Yeah, cheddar and Swiss.
Boy, a lot of love for cheddar. Swiss
right,
would be the runner-up.
Sharp cheddar, by the way.
I want to play, Mace, you didn't get a full chance to respond to this Coach K thing. I want to play it again. This is Coach K.
Yeah, Mace is an idiot. Mace is crazy.
Yeah.
Dealing with a student reporter. And Mace, in particular, after this plays, I want you to tell me where Coach K was disrespectful. Here's the whole exchange.
Hi, Coach. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? You know, I'm not into what our next step forward is right now. We just finished the hard-fought game. Yeah, I don't know if, like, when you, what's your major? What's your major at Duke? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay. So say you just had the toughest econ test in the world. And when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean? Does that,
no.
You have some empathy and, you know, just give us time to evaluate this game. And then we'll figure out just like we always try to do.
Yeah. Regular reporter asked that question. Mike Krzyzewski is not pissy.
Well, that's because the regular reporter.
I disagree that he's pissy.
No.
I don't think he is.
No, he isn't. That's because the regular reporter is not a student at Duke, not taking an econ class.
The answer to the question is not to criticize the qualifications of the reporter.
He wasn't doing
he
that.
Didn't.
Where,
he
John,
didn't.
John, ask me a question.
Him.
I'm Coach K.
All right. Coach, where do you go from here after this loss?
Well, you know, you never played collegiate basketball.
Oh, he didn't say that.
Come on.
That's basically what he's saying.
No, he didn't.
He's questioning the qualifications.
Matter of fact, not only did he...
ask me the question.
Hey, Coach K, this is a tough game. Was this the toughest game you faced this year?
Well, you're older and you don't understand the way the game is right now. I mean, honestly, he's questioning the qualifications of the reporter.
How did you get that out of
that kid? Yeah,
not only is he not doing that, he is actually trying to relate to him on his level.
Right.
He says, what's your major?
To relate to anybody.
What's your hardest class?
Yeah. If Joe Beatwriter asked that question,
Mace,
would he question his ability to ask the question?
Ask me that question.
Where does your team go from here?
Well, Steve, I know that you've done a lot of shows, and after you've done a really bad show...
Excuse me, Coach. I asked you a question.
Right. I'm answering it.
That's what I would say.
Well, then he's let him answer.
I asked you a question.
Okay, I'm going to answer it.
So you just made it. You just made it pithy, Mace.
Yeah,
I'm going to if the coach doesn't play along and play the game.
Well,
I'm
answering your question.
Okay, go ahead.
You've done a lot of shows, and after you do a bad show, you probably aren't focused on what the next show is. You're still mad about the one you just did. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel. I feel like we just blew a big game. We probably should have won it. I'm going to look at this and reevaluate and go from there. But I don't know where we go from here. I would equate it to, after you have a bad show, you probably don't want to talk about the next one.
Exactly.
Coach, after a game like that, you sound really frustrated by questioning me. How frustrated are you?
I'm not frustrated. I was just trying to explain it to you.
Sounds like you want to pick a fight, Mace.
No.
And by the way, Greg Popovich would have answered that question. I don't care. Yeah. Next question.
Right, but he's not doing interviews with kids.
Oh, he's not
a kid.
How old is this kid? He's 20 years of age, 21.
He's a college kid. He's a college kid in school. He's trying to learn how to be a reporter.
We can send him off to war if he's a college
kid. He's a grown man.
I would go right back at Coach K. Go right back at
him. Well, that's fine.
Coach K wasn't being contentious.
Look, he was. Oh. What is your major is not the way to answer a question.
He's trying to give him an
example. He's a reporter. You don't ask what you study in school. Go ahead. Ask me the question again.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, where do you go from here after a game like this?
Well, what's your major?
I majored in history.
Okay. Now, you knew that after a really tough history exam, things would get really, really frustrating for you.
Right.
Do you empathize with that?
I do. So are you frustrated?
See, you asked the follow-up question. That's
right.
The follow-up question I would ask. Are you frustrated?
Well, of course.
If I was the kid, I would have gone right back at him.
And as a coach, he would say, yes, we are. We played horrible or whatever. We lost
the
tough game.
Coach K didn't sound all
What's
that
What's your
mad?
Major? Well, of course, he apologized.
If he didn't think he did anything wrong, he wouldn't apologize.
You people shamed him into an apology.
Right.
Who is my people? Exactly. Who is my people?
You internet overreactors.
I can't believe Coach K was coached by Bobby Knight, and he apologized for giving a good answer. Unbelievable.
Bobby Knight would have thrown a chair at that kid.
You know what? That's fine. And you go right back at him. If the Indiana Tribune or whatever the hell that paper is, if you're a kid reporter, you go right back at that coach.
If that coach conditions
your answer on what your major is, he is not being forthcoming with you.
I wonder if Bobby Knight called Coach K today. What the hell is wrong with you?
Bobby Knight still with us?
Yeah, he's still around, but he's not doing well, but he's still around.
Okay, good. Well, I hope he's doing well.
I hope he called Coach K and cussed him out.
Larry King passed away over the weekend, 86 years old. Michael, what are your recollections of Larry King?
St. Petersburg, hello!
He was a great interview.
Did you see that the Jerry Seinfeld clip over the weekend started trending? Have you guys heard that one?
No.
All right, I'll find it for you.
He got all the A-listers on his show, right?
Yes, he did.
How come you guys can't?
Because we're not Larry King. all right, coming up for you at 3 o'clock, Larry King, our final conversation with him. I think we interviewed him. I interviewed him a whole bunch in my career, John. I know you interviewed him before, too. But this is the final time that we got to talk to him late last year.
You know, if you put the four kings on Mount Rushmore, it'd be Larry King, Carol King, B.B. King, and Don King.
Not Don King.
Why not?
Don King's a crook.
Well, name a four.
Sounds like a really lame Mount Rushmore.
Wait a minute. Great Kings.
First of all, I hate Mount Rushmores, but who are the other people named King?
King? Let's see. There was B.B. King.
Wait a minute. You left Martin Luther King off?
Oh, that's right. Martin Luther King.
Mike, Oh, Mike, you just lost your black card.
I can't believe it.
Sorry,
I was just thinking of four quick kings.
You blew it.
And you left off the number one
Reverend
king.
Dr. Michael Luther King.
Exactly. Yeah, wow. That's right. His name was Michael.
Wait a minute. So you called him? Wait, his real name was Michael?
Yeah, Michael King.
So you never knew that? Martin was a nickname?
Yeah, he came up. Somebody gave him the name Martin, but his real name is Michael.
Yeah.
And he should have spelled it my way.
Coming up for you next is Radio Tinder, then Larry King. Our final conversation with him at 3 o'clock. 3:15 is going to be Game of Games, by the way, because pregame starts early for Lakers-Cavs. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, Linz, what do you got for us?
Okay, guys, the Pro Bowl is going to still take place this year, believe it or not, but it's going to look quite different. On Sunday, a handful of players will represent their conferences in an AFC-NFC showdown on Madden 21, the football video game. So it's going to be Texas quarterback Deshaun Watson, Titans running back Derrick Henry, rapper Snoop Dogg, and our very own Keyshawn Johnson representing the AFC squad, with Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray, Seahawks safety Jamal Adams, NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace, and former running back Marshawn Lynch playing for the NFC. So this is a cool concept.
It's Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, Marshawn.
I said Marshawn. Same thing.
Oh, hey, quit picking names.
Listen, MT, stop picking around here.
I think this is a very interesting concept and want to know, do you guys think that the Madden video game should be a permanent replacement for the actual Pro Bowl? Swipe left or swipe right?
Michael, you think it should?
Yeah, the Pro Bowl's a joke. I mean, guys don't want to they basically play touch football. Guys don't want to play in it. They want to be named to the Pro Bowl, but they don't want to play in it.
Right. I actually agree with Michael. The only reason the Pro Bowl exists still is because it gets good ratings for some reason, even though there's no blitzing allowed.
Because it's called NFL football.
Stu Lanz watches it.
Yeah, Lindsay, it gets huge ratings every year, and so that's why the NFL and the owners don't want to get rid of it. But what if you got hurt in the Pro Bowl?
Exactly.
You
know,
I think it's a colossal waste of time. And you know,
I'm with you, Michael. Name the Pro Bowl team so those guys can get paid bonuses and stuff.
Right.
The baseball All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game, they happen in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. The Pro Bowl is an absolute afterthought. I don't think I've ever watched it.
And the injuries in those other sports are less likely. Like, it's less likely you'll get hurt in basketball or baseball. But in football, you're trying to kill the other guy on every play. You know,
Lindsay, what do you think?
I'd get rid of it. Lindsay, would you keep it or get rid of it?
I think that ever since they moved it out of Hawaii, because if I'm a player, I want to go to the Pro Bowl because I want a free trip to Hawaii. And I remember Joe Thomas, you know, Browns someday Hall of Famer, used to talk about that all the time. Like, oh, that was the best part of the Pro Bowl. People would never turn it down because they wanted to go to Hawaii. Well, now that they're having it in, like, Orlando and Tampa every year, I just think nobody wants to be there. I guess even though people watch it, I think they should just get rid of it.
If I was a player, I would, instead of going to the Pro Bowl, I would just go to Hawaii.
but you get to bring your whole family.
They could award everybody with vacations.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good idea.
All right, what's next?
All right, with just 1 year left on her existing deal, multimillionaire talk show host Ellen will enter talks about the Ellen DeGeneres Show next month, according to Page Six. Ellen's ratings have slipped, and the Kelly Clarkson Show, which airs right after Ellen, could well take the Ellen Show's 3 p.m. slot if it comes to an end. Last month, the Kelly Clarkson Show hit a season high and matched DeGeneres' numbers for the first time. Will Kelly Clarkson's show replace Ellen by the end of the year? Swipe left or swipe right?
It's hard to say.
I'm going
to
swipe right. I think the shine is off Ellen. All the stories about how mean Ellen is
off stage, you think she's changed?
What's that?
You think she's changed since all this not being mean anymore?
I wonder.
No.
But the reputation is there, Michael.
Yeah. But you could change, though. Maybe she wasn't aware she was being so mean.
How are you not aware you're not mean?
Because you get a little bit entitled and you realize when you're talking down to people, you sort of forget about it and she didn't realize it. Maybe she didn't realize the contrast between
her on-air personality and the stories that hundreds of people have told is just so crazy that I don't think that she could just be doing it unknowingly.
Yeah, you know what people don't like, Michael?
What's
hypocrisy.
That? Yeah.
When you play like you're really nice and right. fun on yeah. the air and then you're really a jerk and yeah. behind the scenes, to me, people don't like hypocrisy. And although I don't watch the Kelly Clarkson show, I've seen it, and she is she's really fun. She sings, and people seem to like her, and I heard she's really nice behind the scenes. I think the Kelly Clarkson show could absolutely replace her.
Bring back Arsenio!
Bring back
Arsenio.
Our, I completely agree.
Michael, were you ever a guest on that show?
No, man, I always wanted to be. I wanted to be on the Magic Hour, too.
The By Magic the way, coming, Hour lasted for 3 weeks.
Coming to America 2 is coming out in March.
I can't wait to see the barbershop scene again.
Yep, excited about that.
What are they going to argue about this time, LeBron and Michael Jordan instead of Ali and Marciano?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Could be. We'll find out. Yeah. We'll find out. Linz, what's next?
All right, Amazon's Zooks recently unveiled its self-driving robo-taxi. It looks quite futuristic. I just retweeted a video of it if you guys want to look on my Twitter feed. Featuring a carriage-style layout, two bench seats facing each other, and bus-style doors on both sides. Its battery can support 16 hours of driving at speeds up to 75 miles an hour, and there's no controls for a human driver. Will the self-driving robo-taxi be the way we'll get around in large cities 5 to 10 years from now? Swipe left or swipe right.
All right, I'm looking at this thing, and it looks like the type of thing Mason would fully endorse. It has no steering wheel. It's an automatic car. It's got lots of windows. But I'm not getting in it if it has no driver.
Yeah,
I'm out.
That's crazy. That's nuts.
Mace, are you in?
That computer will drive better than you do, Michael.
You know, Mace, you know, that's a great point. You make a great point because when a pilot puts the plane on autopilot, it flies perfectly. Would you jump on a plane without a pilot?
No.
Yes or no?
No, I wouldn't.
There
I
you
wouldn't.
Go. There you just answered your own question.
No.
Yeah, but it's
look.
Different.
No, it's
why?
This. Why? You could get hurt.
Because
you could get killed in a car.
You're up in the air. It's totally different.
Yeah. Have you ever crashed at 60 miles an hour, Lindsay?
The death rate is virtually 100% if a plane crashes. In the case of a car accident, which, by the way, a computer is really smart. And you guys,
are autopilots.
You guys can say, I would never, but you're going to have no choice.
This
is coming no matter what.
Yeah, we do. You can,
like it or not, don't be afraid of the future, Michael. You still have one.
Can't you just drive your own car?
Eventually, you won't need to. I mean, already they've got self-driving
right.
features
but
in cars.
But you know there's going to be – like, Michael never leaves his hotel or his house anyway.
Right.
So, you know, he's not getting in one of these
but you ever take cars. Do you ever take a taxi? Do you ever take a car?
That's a human's in charge in the front. Besides, I like driving. Driving doesn't bother me. I love to get up and drive my car.
I think driving is fun too, but the last thing I want is a stinky Uber driver who doesn't know what he's doing and drives like a crazy person.
Or the ones that want to talk to you and they just keep
talking. What percentage of
talking?
Uber drivers are stinky?
You know, I've never used an Uber.
Really?
I don't know how to.
It's an app, Michael.
Yeah.
It's an app.
Besides, the yellow cabs, aren't they just as good?
You're still trying to get Amazon Prime so you can watch One Night in Miami.
No, I got Prime Video. I'm going to watch it. I got it. I downloaded it the other day all by myself.
Yourself.
Oh, that a boy, Michael. Yeah. I'm impressed.
That's right.
Michael's all grown up.
Who are you calling boy?
Yeah.
All right. Last one here.
You can say that.
You can say that.
Last one. LaMelo Ball has been one of the most exciting rookies in the NBA this year, and it only took 15 games for his dad, LaVar Ball, to demand that he sees more playing time.
And he's right. He's right. Doggone.
Well, let me get there, Michael.
Oh, sorry.
Basketball's most outspoken father aired a number of grievances about LaMelo's role off the bench in an interview with TMZ on Friday and also implied that LaMelo himself is unhappy with the arrangement. Here's what he said.
My thing is he ain't happy with that, but he ain't going to show that. If I train you to be the best and always you've been starting all your life, here's what they don't get. My boys are not freaking role players. They superstars. Let them do what they do.
Do you agree with LaVar Ball? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right is agreeing?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. Swipe right. I agree. This boy, LaMelo, can play. And Charlotte, let's see, where is Charlotte? They're 7-9. They're going nowhere. They're a moribund, benign, boring franchise. Let this boy play. He can play.
Yeah, why is Terry Rozier starting
exactly.
in front of LaMelo Ball?
I don't know.
Averaging only 25 minutes a game, and he's already racked up, I think, 2 triple-doubles. I don't know why that guy
you can
doesn't
start
get
him.
As much
so
playing time as
Michael
possible.
Michael and I have done 2 games with Chicago. The Lakers have beat the Bulls twice already this year. And they have a rookie named Patrick Williams, who was the 4th pick in the draft, the pick after LaMelo. and they play him, start him, have him guard LeBron.
Yep.
They have just thrown this kid into the fire. And, Michael, I think I can speak for both. We really like him.
Yeah,
I think that that's exactly how we would handle LaMelo.
Yep.
You put him out there, play him. Like, this guy, Patrick Williams, plays 30 minutes a game.
Yeah, LaMelo's not afraid of the limelight. He can play, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's already got a triple-double, yeah. And I don't know.
He should be playing 36, 38 minutes a game.
He's on my fantasy basketball team. More minutes is better for me.
Mm. Lindsay, I'm going to say something very dangerous. I agree with LeVar.
He's been right so far.
He's done really well, though. I mean, if you think about it, he's done really well at sort of pulling back and letting his kids shine.
And his boys never get in trouble, never do the wrong thing. Well, except that one time in China. But they usually are they're good young men.
Michael, did you watch the Tiger Woods documentary?
Yeah, I loved it.
You know, isn't LeVar Ball just like Earl Woods?
Exactly. And Richard Williams. Exactly.
And Richard
like
Williams.
Exactly.
Same guy. What did you think of the second part of the Tiger Woods documentary?
It was sad to see it, but we had to see that part because you can't tell one story without the other side. But you just shake your head sitting there going, Tiger, what were you thinking?
Although, you know what? I came away from that, and Ireland thinks it's crazy. I came away from that liking Tiger and rooting for him more because I think he became a sympathetic figure.
Yeah, he's a human. He made a lot of mistakes.
He effed up his life. Yeah. He screwed up. He seems to be trying to do better now.
Right.
And I believe people should have opportunities to reinvent themselves.
Sure. As long as you don't kill someone. Sure,
yeah.
Of course.
Michael, how about that at the very end of part two when all those guys around Tiger at the Masters hit the ball in the water on the 12th
hole?
Yeah,
they felt the pressure.
Like they all came in there tied with him.
Yep.
Like Spieth, water.
Yep.
Kepka, water.
The Spanish
Sergio,
guy.
Water.
Who was the Spanish guy? He was leading the tournament and hit like six in the water because Tiger was right tapping him on the shoulder.
Sergio?
Not Sergio. The other guy.
John Rahm.
Rahm, yeah. Not Rahm. Who was leading the tournament when he hit the ball in the water in the 12th island? You should know this.
You know what? I'll tell you what.
Anyway,
why don't you guys think about it?
By the way, Mace, if you get $1 billion in the lottery, it's not $1 billion. It's like $400 million. After tax.
I'll take it.
I can make a living on that. I can make a living. All right, coming up next for you. We had a chance last year to talk to the great Larry King here on Mason in Ireland. He passed away this weekend, and he led a legendary life and had a legendary career. And it's a really fun interview, so we thought we'd play it again. Then at 3:15, Game of Games is coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.